Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. And you go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Balls in Our Court podcast. Cortez, once again, not in the building. The Orlando Magic playing a little back-to-back, and Cortez is a season ticket holder, so he's doing more important things. But hey, I'm here again, and I'm going to try to last more than 7 minutes without getting kicked off. So
that's what she said. That's what she said to you, I should say.
Yep, that's what she said. Try to last more than 7 minutes before I kick you off.
7 minutes in heaven, baby.
Don't worry. Push you off.
7 minutes in heaven.
With the white hour.
That's right. I'm your co-host, Paul Mack, here. And in the building, we got, for 2 weeks in a row, Mr. Kevin Carter. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm all right. I just got off work. Tired. Hungry. Sleepy. Yeah, I'm fine.
All right. And then back for a second time. Mr. Tom Childs, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm black. I mean, I'm back. I'm sorry. since Couture, look at that. I can't even. I almost called him Couture because he's so rich. He got these. Got them season tickets. I'm back, and guess what? I'm the token out here tonight. So I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me again, Paul. Mac and cheese. I love it, Kev. You know, the faceless man. You know, thank you.
Faceless man. There he is.
Technically, you can still see my face. I'm just the videoless man.
I'm going to call you the faceless man. That's
faceless man sounds way scarier.
That could be anybody's face. That could be anybody's face.
You can call me Slender Man. Ain't that already a bad guy, though?
That's Victor Wembanyama.
There you go.
But, yeah, man. So, we're all here, and Thanksgiving is right around the corner. Got a
Hold on, Paul.
What's up, buddy?
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
That's not the corner. It's like up the street.
Yeah, that's like down the road. Like what? Four blocks away.
Bro, it's Thanksgiving is the dude that passed your house and called you for the address again.
So you can come eat.
He's like, bro, I'll pass it around.
Well, Thanksgiving's driving around the neighborhood aimlessly trying to figure out where my house is.
My man.
So we got, you know, a full slate of football this weekend and lots to talk about from last weekend. So without further ado, lots to talk about. So we're going to hop on in this real quick, get started with our Week 11 recap. Before I do that, did either of you gentlemen catch the Tom Brady soundbite that was going around the last couple of days?
Yeah, I heard it.
How y'all feel about that?
The reason it's fucking like that is because of you, Tom. So shut the fuck up.
Okay. I ain't gonna lie. I was high off this win of a football team, and I didn't catch it until my boy Paul Mack told me to look it up. And Tom Brady's a GOAT, so I think he can say whatever he wants. So unless it's about the Eagles.
That's fair. All right. I was just curious because, I mean, a lot of seems a lot of former players and stuff are saying that it's true that the NFL kind of, you know, does things a lot differently now because of the rule changes and all the different things and the development of players and stuff like that. So I was just curious if, you know,
they literally made a Brady rule, for God's sake.
Ah, bro, Kevin, you just took the words out of my goddamn mouth. I was just about to say that he's the one that made these rules change. So
exactly. You can't bitch about the way the game is now when you were the one that made it all start. So goddamn it, shut up, Tom.
I was just about to say it's the same thing. I don't really know what the saying says, but it's about calling somebody black or the kettle or something like that. The pot and the kettle and the blacks and
it's
I don't
the
know
pot
what
calling the kettle black. I got you.
Kevin, I knew it, but it's Tom Brady, so I didn't want to.
Oh no, damn it. No, yeah. No, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit who it is. When you got a rule, when you literally have a rule named about you, you can't bitch about shit that's going on when you basically started all of it. So shut up, take your ass to retirement, enjoy fucking owning part of the Las Vegas Raiders, and just shut up.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys, and I don't mean to over-talk you, but like you said, Tom Brady is kind of like the older statesman or the other statesmen of life when they say, well, back in my day, it was different. You know what I mean? So I think he's kind of on that thing right there. I love you, Tom, but you got to kind of sit down in this moment.
But the funny part is he's talking about like years ago. Bitch, you've only been out of the league for 1 year. Shut up.
Yeah, no, it was wild. I mean, some stuff he was saying about how early in his career, about, you know, his biggest fear in the league was getting one of his guys killed going over the middle. It's like, come on, Tom. Come on, Tom.
In the one game I actually went to live that the Patriots played, he threw it to Gronk over the middle and got Gronk killed. So, like, shut up, Tom.
Oh, man. Oh, well. I was just curious.
Well, but no. You know.
It is what it is. Just Tom Brady stealing the headlines.
Tom Brady being the GOAT.
Yeah. Hey. All right. Fair enough. All right. So, NFL Week 11 in the books. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to start. We're starting this thing off with a little Fly Eagles Fly. Philadelphia defeats the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football.
You guys caught that game?
Yeah, I caught most of it. Yeah,
I didn't watch it.
I watched the whole thing, and there was many a point where I was going to turn it off because it was just rainy and sloppy and gross.
But, hold on. All right, I'm sorry, Paul. I don't mean to mess up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it was just an ugly game, man. That for three quarters. Felt like for at least the first half, the Eagles couldn't move the ball at all. But hey, that defense stepped up and they came up big in the second half. So, you know, it is what it is.
If by defense you stepped up, you mean Kansas City forgot how to catch a football, then yes.
I mean, well, didn't get any points.
Well, you know, I didn't watch that game. I'm not a fan of either team. But you said wet and sloppy, so that caught my interest. So I'm trying to bring some stuff back, you know. And I'm lying. You see what hat I got on? You know I watched that.
Well, I know you're lying. That's kind of yeah.
I'm just waiting for Paul to ask the questions. I don't.
Yeah, man. So I mean, with Philly's win against Kansas City, like how do you assess that victory for the Eagles? How do you feel about it?
Myself or Kevin?
Either one, you can go first, Mr. Eagles hat. Go ahead.
Well, no, that's actually this is a chicken on my hat.
It's a turkey.
It's a turducken.
It's a turkey. Yeah.
No, man. I'm gonna be realistic. I'm a realistic
Erky. Yeah.
I'm realistic when it comes to any of my teams. So first off, let me start off by saying Jalen Hurts was hurt, right? And my take on it was we scored quick because we have a great quarterback and it was the beginning of the game, so he didn't have as much stress on his knee just yet. And when I'm talking about him hurt, I'm talking about his knee injury. So what I viewed was, you know, he was able to stand in the pocket for a quick second, but then fast forward when he couldn't move out of the pocket because I don't think his knee would allow him to, he got sacked back to back. He couldn't move, right? But Jalen Hurts has got a big arm, so he's going to be able to throw passes quick. But if you notice, he couldn't really kind of dig his knee into the ground to actually set any far passes in the first half. You know what I mean? And the defense stepped up pretty big. That first score we came out, but you saw we couldn't hold that run at all. We could not hold that goddamn run. Pacheco was. You know, making us look crazy, man. But then, second half came out. It looks like Jalen, he got that cortisone shot. Because if you see a couple minutes in, you know, he was still a little ginger. But, boy, halfway through that third quarter, he was running like the regular Jalen that we see, man. He was stepping in the dirt, throwing passes, completing passes real quick. And we did it all without a tight end. Which is crazy, and I don't mean to take it up, but you know I'm an Eagles fan, and again, like I said, the game wasn't a great game. I'm not gonna say the Chiefs should have won, but I'm gonna tell you what, we're a scrappy team, and we 9-1 right now, baby. And also the Chiefs, they that long shot, I'm glad he didn't catch that. I was praying for that, and God is a good guy. So you know that's what happened.
Kev.
Yeah, it was a good game.
All right, fair enough.
Cut it out,
Tom,
Kev.
Tom was looking at the stat sheet before we came on here, and he said, "Oh man."
Yeah, the stat sheet was empty. It was empty. Jalen Hurts, 422, 150 yards, interception. We won again. DeAndre. He was the one that kind of stood out. He was balling. He had 76 yards as a running back, a touchdown. And then you had DeAndre that actually saved us, you know. And I think he had 99 yards. Six reception, 99 yards. And I will say this. They did have a tight end in there. And my stupid ass drafted him because I had Dallas Goedert in. So my big plan was, let me get the backup tight end and Jack Stoll, and he's going to go crazy. That man had one catch for 7 yards. Nothing else.
Yeah, at least he caught it.
Yeah, but, you know, we just played a scrappy game, man, and we did great.
All right, well, lead into that. I know we kind of covered this earlier in the year, but what's up with the Chiefs offense? We missing are people figuring them out? Are they just not good? Or are they not gelling?
They can't fucking catch. That's their problem. They can't fucking catch.
But I'm gonna say though, it was a rainy game. Like
no, they can't fucking catch if it's dry. They can't fucking catch if it's wet. They can't fucking catch if it's fucking not humid. They can't fucking catch if it's humid. They just can't fucking catch. They lead the league in drops.
Yeah.
By a wide margin, they lead the league in drops. That's their problem. They can't catch the fucking football.
Now, are we talking about drops like right in your hands, or are we talking about hard press plays, or?
They drop everything. There was four or five plays in that. No, well, they ended in first downs or touchdowns that they just flat out drop.
Yeah.
Like, just drop. It hit them in a bad spot. Dead in their fucking hands.
They actually hit them in the right spot. They just didn't fucking catch it.
Gotta get them some of that that hot hand stuff from the kid on the Little Giants.
No. You gotta get what was Clifford Franklin from the replacement.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Dude.
You see, the ball is like a one-man clone to Clifford Franklin. Clifford Franklin, the only one catching it. Clifford Franklin, the only one coming down with it.
Oh, my God. Oh,
brother.
That's the Sprite dude.
Yeah.
He used to do the Sprite campaigns.
It looked like I jacked off an elephant.
Not Sprite, 7-Up yours. That guy.
Clifford Franklin. Big-ass eyeball.
Yeah.
7-Up yours. Yeah. All right. Well, we proceed. Ravens, Bengals. Obviously, there was some big news in that game. Joe Burrow now out for the season. Baltimore comes through with the victory, 34-20. How do we feel about the AFC North now coming out of that game? How do we feel about I know Cortez picked Baltimore to go to the Super Bowl. Kev said it was still their division to lose. The Bengals were kind of rallying a little bit, picking up some steam. Then they lost to the Texans the week before, and now they lose their starting quarterback for the rest of the year. So are the Bengals Dunskies?
They done.
Yeah, because the Bengals, as you can see, they get hot in the I'd say the second half of the season. What is this, week 9? No, week 10. Right?
Week 11.
Well, now coming up week 11.
Mm-hmm.
So it's past the halfway mark, and now the quarterback is gone. Unless we can see a miracle.
Yeah, and the wild thing is it's a completely different injury than he was having earlier in the year. Like, he was having that calf issue. We were worried about the, potentially a Achilles injury, calf injury, and then he goes and apparently it's a wrist injury, ligament in his wrist. So
you better stop doing all that stuff with that wrist.
Hell yeah. But I tell you what, they had 272 total yards in the whole game. You can't win games like that.
Yeah, they done.
Burrow went out early, and then they brought in good old Jake Browning.
Yeah, but even with a backup quarterback, 272 yards, that's rushing and running. I mean, rushing and passing.
And 40 of those yards were the backup quarterback. Jake Browning ran for 40 yards. So kudos to Jake Browning.
You can't win games like that, man.
Well,
yeah.
To quote the Raven, the Bengals' chances are never more.
Never more.
Yeah. Odell Beckham finally showed up. Took him 11 weeks, but he's here. He had 4 catches, 116 yards. Obviously, Baltimore also lost Mark Andrews for the year. So that's a huge injury. That's a big loss for them, yeah.
I tell you what, though. And I said this earlier, and my Eagles are a good team. We have the best record in the league, but I think the Baltimore Ravens might be the best team in the league, man.
They gotta win a close game for me. They haven't won a close game yet. They've blown 3 fourth quarter leads.
But you gotta think about it like this, right? So you wanna see them win a close game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter about close games. It matters if they win at the end of the. It matters that they win at the end of this damn season. You know what I mean? Because playoffs are a whole nother game. You guys know that. So for me to want to see somebody win close games, you don't got to prove that to me. You know what I mean? And I hate to keep bringing it back to the Eagles. Every game is a close game, not because we're making it close, because we're throttling. We're just having shitty games. We're just grinding it out.
But that's the difference, though, is I have full faith in Philly. If they're in a winter condition game in the postseason, and it's not, the offense can't go out there and spread it out and put up a bunch of big points, and it's going to be a 17-10, 17-14 game, I have confidence the Eagles can pull that off.
Yeah. We've seen Philly do it.
No,
but Baltimore. No, yeah. Baltimore has gone into the fourth quarter in all of their losses with the lead, and have lost the lead and lost 3 games.
But it's only 3 games. They won 8.
Right, but the other ones that they won, they've won by 2 scores.
So that's a close game then.
No.
Plus,
2 scores? No.
Plus, when it comes playoff time, like, we haven't seen Baltimore really, come out and do that shit. Playoff time.
They haven't.
Like, Philly, you trust Philly because you've seen Philly do it when it matters the most.
Yeah.
Kansas City, you've seen do it when it matters the most, even though they're struggling. You still see these teams like do it when it matters. Like Baltimore hasn't done it when it matters. Like they've struggled when it comes time for them to show out. So now, I can't give them that best team mantra yet. Right now they're pretty good, but
let me say this to Paul Mack's point. As far as close games, I don't mean close games where they had to grind it out with a field goal or some shit like that. I mean those three games or those games that they won by two touchdowns or two scores where they like they came from behind.
Oh, no, they're usually leading from the jump. They usually score first and just hold the lead from jump. They get a lead on you. They make the offense one-dimensional where you have to throw the ball all over the place and they just eat you up. And there's no coming back from it.
I understand what you're saying, but if you can't, for lack of a better word, if you can't fuck with me, you can't fuck with me. If I'm up on you, you can't catch up. Bitch, catch up. And I'm not saying that because I'm a Baltimore fan. But
in the postseason, you're going to play against a bunch of teams that can catch up.
Yeah, that you ain't going to. You got to put people away, and they've had problems with putting away
good teams. Not even good teams. Yeah.
So it's
running the Browns that got them one time.
It's three losses, fellas. Right. What I'm saying is this: how come a team just can't be that good?
They're good, but they're not. They're good, but I don't consider them the best in the league. I consider them a good football team, but I don't consider them the best in the league. Right now the best team in the league is the team that's only got one loss.
Yeah, but you know what though? And obviously you guys know that I'm a fan. What I'm saying is this. Just like you're saying, we played close games. We only scored what? Two games over 30? Maybe one. If we get into an all-out shootout, right? What are we going to do?
But I think your offense
is good enough.
Philly's done it. Philly has proven.
We haven't done it.
You've done it. Baltimore just hasn't done it. Like they haven't done it last year. They didn't do it. They're doing it this year somewhat, but they just haven't proven that you can do it consistently. Once you have to prove, it's just like the goddamn Buffalo Bills. You haven't proved to me that you can do the shit consistently and make it to that next plateau. You haven't done it yet.
I got what you're saying about that. But you cannot tell me that a team that has won eight games can't beat these motherfuckers.
Because my team's won seven games and people still don't think we're the shit or we're any good. So, yeah, I can't because I'm spilling it on my end.
I don't know, man. It's you got to grind, man. These wins don't come easy. It's any given Sunday. These wins don't come easy.
But I continuously hear the shit about my team that's won seven games and only lost three that they're not. They shouldn't be putting the spots with the rest of these guys. So I understand it. I just don't think right now I can consider them one of the best, especially with teams like Philly and San Francisco finding their groove again and teams like that. I just can't.
Hey, look at my hands. Let me put my hands up. You see both of my hands together?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was a guy the last time I was on that said, you guys don't believe in San Fran? No. Didn't I say that? Both of you.
Yeah.
I said, y'all counting these motherfuckers.
Was I here?
Out?
Oh, yeah, I was here.
Kev, you was definitely here.
Yeah, I didn't count them out.
Yes, you did.
I didn't. No. When I said was they don't have their players. I said, he's struggling because he don't have his players. When he gets his players back, then we'll see what's going on because they were struggling without their guys. They got their guys back, And look what happened.
Baltimore.
I made an observation.
I'm sorry, Paul. To go back on that, I just haven't been on the show in a couple weeks. So you know,
Baltimore's three losses were one to the Colts, 22-19. One to the Steelers, 17-10.
Ooh.
And then they lost to the Browns in Week 10, 33-31.
That's not a close game?
Yeah, and they lost all three.
I'm just saying this. They won eight games, right? There's good teams out there that lose to people. We lost to the Jets. That's our first. That's our only loss. Kansas City, they lost to they lost to us, obviously. The first week they lost to the Lions, which is a great team. And then I think the next loss was either way, what I'm saying is this. Eight games in the National Football League are eight games, bro. I understand you guys disagreeing with me saying they're the best team in the league right now. Let me rephrase it. The best team in regular season right now is this far, other than my Eagles.
We'll see. I still think that they got to win it. They got to be able to close in the fourth quarter. I just think if a team catches up to them and the score's close and it's a one possession game, they haven't showed me that they can win yet. And until they show me they can win, we'll see what happens. Every other win they've had this year was, aside from a week two where they beat the Bengals by a field goal, every other win was by at least a touchdown. And they had the lead going into the fourth quarter. They were up by more than that. The other team just couldn't come back. So they've had the lead every game.
Maybe. I don't know what winning means, but beating people by more than one touchdown. I think that's a win for me.
Yeah, but we'll see when they got to play against the big Eagles. Dogs. We'll see what happens. All right, next topic here. We got the not so cowardly Lions. The Lions had a hell of a comeback victory last week. They moved to
8-2.
8-2.
8-2.
How are we feeling about the Detroit Lions? How do they stack up against some of the other powerhouse teams in the NFC?
Well, I can go on and on. I think the last time they were 8-2 was what was the year? 1962? I think me and Paul Mack kind of went over this on a pregame of last time 1962 rolled around. But I'm not going to go into it any further. But again, the Lions, nobody ever thought that they would be 5-2. You know what I mean? These guys balling out. To your point, they've been winning close games. They've been losing close games. You know what I mean? But I don't see them doing any work in the playoffs.
But to the opposite point, I think the Lions see like a game like that. They're down in the fourth quarter, be it against Chicago, coming back and getting a win. It's still huge. And just, you know, contrary to the Raven argument, they
played Chicago.
Their two losses were blowout losses. They got blown out by the Jags 25-7, and they got blown out by the Ravens,
which is another
38-6. So their two losses, they just got blown out and outplayed
by two of the best teams and two of the better teams in the league.
Right, but every other game, they went into the fourth quarter losing. They didn't have a lead. Came back. So that's the kind of thing I want to see from Baltimore. I want to see a Baltimore Ravens team in that situation having to play from behind. Now, God bless you. If your offense is good enough to where you don't have to play from behind, kudos to you. The Lions offense, some games is absolutely fantastic. Other games, they are kind of, you know, weird, but
this might sound like cap, but the Baltimore Ravens have felt winning before, right? Recently, whether they fumbled it in the playoffs, or well, not fumbled the ball, but just like fumbled the losing to getting there. Goddamn Detroit Lions, they ain't been nowhere. You know what I mean? So I think everybody's on this. Finally, the Detroit Lions are picking up, which they are. But I don't know, man. Like, is golf that good?
The NFL seems different too when the Lions are playing well. Like that fan base, those guys. It's a different kind of league when the Lions are living up to expectation. Which again, I feel like maybe they're peaking way sooner than people thought they probably would. But you know, Jared Goff's a guy got traded away from the Rams, got to the Lions. He was part of that Matt Stafford situation, and man's showing up.
And that's what that was my last thing. Do you really think Goff is that good, or he's just getting miracles these games?
No, these aren't. I mean, 23 of 35 for 236, two touchdowns. I mean he threw three picks. That was the worst game he probably played all year. But I think just having good players around him and having good coaching around him, he's still a young guy. I mean, yeah, he's still going to make mistakes, but I think it's just, you know, you have a hungry head coach, and we covered this last week with a lot of these former player coaches. I think they just have connections with these guys that are different than, you know, the Sean Paytons of the world or the Josh McDaniels of the world. And I think it's just great for a young quarterback to have that.
Yeah. Well, and the only reason why I'm saying is Goff that good, just play devil's advocate, because he's got probably one of the best wide receivers in the league with St. Brown. That's been – he was out last week, but this week he came and showed up, you know what I mean? And not to say anybody else on the team wasn't doing this thing, but that hookup right there, man, it might be – that might be one of the best 1-2s in the league right now. It is one of the best 1-2s in the league. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you throw that thing to that man, and he can catch and run on your ass.
How do you feel about the Lions, Kev?
The Lions are that young team that's in. You've got to prove it before anybody truly believes in you. So they're still going out week after week after week, and they're having to prove it to everybody that they're as good as their record says they are. So yeah, they're just going out and they're steady handing it to people. A good comeback win, even if it was against the Bears, who, as Paul likes to say, stinks. but they still came out. They found a way to win. But they're so new to it that they still have to prove it to a lot of people, because people ain't going to buy into it until you come playoff time and you show that you have the cojones to go out there and do it against the bigger teams in your conference. But I like them. I think they're doing great, especially and the people in Detroit, they deserve this shit, because they had dealt with how many years of crap. Now they actually get to watch a Thanksgiving game and enjoy it.
If they win,
no, they'll win. Bring out them old throwback uniforms with the no line on the helmet.
But I'm gonna tell you what, man. Like, even like you just said, Kevin. Like, I still don't understand. Like, maybe I'm just a numbers guy. You can't win 8 games at this point and have to still prove something. Well, obviously they got to prove, you know, that they can go the longevity. They can lose the rest of the games to the rest of the season, as we could as well. But, bro, I'm talking about to this point, to this day, them boys been playing.
But when you haven't had a consistency of being there, people look at you different.
I know.
And that's just the way it is. People are going to look at you, and it's just like here, perfect fucking example. The Los Angeles Chargers. Every fucking year, they were good, but they couldn't prove it to anybody. So what did they come up with? Well, the Chargers are always going to charge because they've never been able to prove anything
to anybody, and they've always just been that good team.
The Bills in the 90s, early 90s.
The Bills now.
Yeah, it's the Bills now.
The Bills right now.
Well, they haven't. They didn't get to that many Super Bowls like the 90s, but.
Yeah, but 90s, you got there. Now they're being built up as they need to get there, and they've been needing to get there for the last five fucking years, and they only had the one run where they got beat by the Chiefs.
They're the biggest next year's our year team.
Exactly. Now guess what?
5 years.
This year, and guess what? Next year, our year has ran out on their asses. It's over.
So
because everybody's caught up. So it's over for them. They're done.
I'm glad you asked that, Paul. If you let me ask a question, would you say the Bills have more to prove or the Lions?
I mean, I don't think Detroit has to prove anything. I think Detroit is in this position where they're playing with house money right now. No one expected them to be 8-2.
Mm-hmm.
They have no expectations. They can go out here and just play football. They don't got the entire city of Buffalo choke slamming each other through flaming tables and doing all this wild shit.
Bro, I think the Lions been having that shit for years. Ever since Barry Sanders and Megatron.
No, because it was Green Bay's division for a long time when they had Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's one of those things now where the door kind of opened. Aaron Rodgers is gone. The passing of the torch is finally a thing where, you know, someone else can go and get it. And the Lions answered the call, and they came in and they said, all right, fine, this is our house now.
But you don't think they have nothing to prove in solidifying themselves as one of the good teams in the NFL after they've been shitty forever?
No. I think they're literally playing with house money. Like, no, if the Lions make the postseason, that's like making the Super Bowl for them right now. They ain't been to the playoffs in how long? They obviously Detroit fans give them expectations. They have to every year from people in Detroit. Oh, this is our year, the Lions. Yeah, woo.
But most I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But most people around the country, they don't give two shits about the Lions.
Yeah, but I'm saying, so you don't think they have to prove themselves to make themselves look like they're a serious contender?
I mean, they're already doing it. They're eight and two.
Yeah, but they still have to prove themselves to actually win in the playoffs.
Right. Let them get there first, and then let's see how they go.
They are the Jaguars of the NFC.
Maybe I'm thinking about this a little different. You know what I mean? Because
they have to prove they belong in the upper echelon of the NFC.
That's what I'm saying.
They have to prove they belong because they have not been there.
Been there, exactly.
But now that they're there right now, now's their chance to prove that you belong in that upper echelon. To them, they're playing with house money. They don't care what the outside is saying. Yeah, but everybody else is saying.
They still have to prove it, though, that they're in the upper echelon and we can win.
Yeah, but they're playing. They're not playing that way. Yeah. They're playing.
Yeah, they don't think that.
People don't think we should be here. People don't think we're this good. Let's show them we're this good.
Whereas we're going, you prove it to us. They're like, we don't have to prove it to nobody.
You know what? And I get that. But just like you said, Kevin, what I'm saying is they have to prove that they're in the upper echelon. Yeah, we have to buy into that shit and play great every game.
Yeah, they have to do it. They have to prove it to us. They don't have to prove it. They don't have to prove it in that building because believe it.
They haven't had the privilege of playing, you know, the top teams in the NFC just yet. So we'll see where those cards fall once they're playing against the other teams. Obviously, they're beating the teams they're supposed to, and then they got stomped out a couple times again by Jacksonville and by Baltimore.
We ain't playing them this year.
Oh, not Jacksonville. It was who was it? It was Baltimore, and I forget who their other big loss was that they got blown out by. But either way, they got stomped. They got stomped twice, but since then, I mean, you're gonna have two losses. You have two losses. Whatever, you got outplayed, and they own up to it. They don't make excuses for it. But I just know that they're a team right now where wherever they finish this season, then the expectations come in that we have to be better next year than we were this year. I know last year there's a lot of hype because they were on Hard Knocks and they had all the cameras around them. They had
and they were one winner, and they were one win away from making it to the playoffs.
Yeah, so they're already an improved team from last year. So they're already winning. They're already winning in the eyes of Detroit fans who haven't seen a good football team in probably two decades. So it's a win for the Lions, and there's no pressure on Detroit. But
well, I'll tell you what, like to your point, Dave. They beat the Chiefs the first game of the season by 1 point. Then you had Ravens beat them 6-38. They got smacked by them. But excuse the silence. They playing their ass off. But yeah. I still, to your point, Kevin, I still feel like us, the league, I think they still have something to prove to solidify themselves as a dominant team.
Because they haven't been there in fucking forever.
Exactly. And that's all I was trying to say.
So last year, with a little bit of success they had, they gave everybody a taste. And now everybody is like, all right, come out and do it. It's just like the team I root for. It's except they're Jacksonville over there.
Yeah, but Jacksonville, I think I'm going to open up a can of worms with this. I think Jacksonville's better, though.
The Lions' expectations right now are that they're a team on most team schedules that gets circled now as, hey, we got to prepare for these guys.
Because they're scary. Because they're scary motherfuckers right now.
We're playing the Lions. No big deal.
It's a win. Yeah, exactly.
That's the difference.
They're literally like we were, because we were in that same boat until we had last year.
But you know what's funny? You know what's funny, man? This NFL flips quite a bit. I think that's why we love it so much. Yeah, you got to think about that. There's a bunch of teams like that now. Like,
look at the Texans.
Yeah, I'm saying
coming out of nowhere.
Exactly. And I don't mean to, Paul. I don't mean to uproot. You know the way the show was mapping, but that's just my little point I want to put in about those teams like that. Like the teams that were shitty before are now like the better teams in the league. You know what I mean? And I think that's why we love this. Yeah, that's why we love this NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And you're gonna start seeing, like you use the Bills as an example. Like it's literally been, well, next year we'll get them. Next year we'll get them. Next year we'll get them. And now Miami's taking off. You know, the Bills aren't much better than the Jets right now. Yeah. And the Jets have Zach Wilson as their quarterback.
And not anymore.
Not anymore.
But that's what I'm saying is now the Bills are a complete failure.
Mm-hmm.
If the Bills make a wild card somehow, it's still not a winning season to Buffalo.
The Bills' door is closed.
But that's ridiculous, bro. Because how are you a wild card? Or even if you make the playoffs, you're not going to win the season. When was the last time y'all won a Super Bowl?
Never.
It's all the same.
Because here's the thing with Buffalo. They built themselves up because they had that one game where they went to Kansas City and they lost on a coin flip. They built themselves up so much upon that game that every single year after that, they thought they were going to be back in that position, but they never got to that point again. And that's in line where now they built themselves up. Now the door is closed because everybody that was behind you has passed you. So now you are in that rear view mirror of all these other teams, and now you've got a taste of what it's like to have conflict with your players, to have people pissed, to have coaches leaving to go to other teams, to go do other things. You have all that stuff. Now they've got to learn how to deal with that, and now they're taking that step backwards because they got older, and all the people that were behind them are now all of a sudden good. And just passing them by like the wind. So now they got to accept that their door
And that window that they had is now closed. They had a 5-year window.
As this league should be. Everything, I believe in evolution. And I think this league is, you know, evolution.
And contrary to that, the Detroit Lions are a team of a bunch of guys that no one else wanted.
Yep.
Jared Goff, the Rams didn't want him. David Montgomery, the Bears let him go. You know, some of their best guys, excuse me, some of their best guys, you know, Jahmyr Gibb, people are like, oh, what'd you draft that guy for? He's like, I'll show you why they drafted me. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to make a difference right now. So aside from, you know, Amon St. Brown, most of that offense is an island of misfit toys.
Ragtags.
That nobody wanted. And they're coming together.
And you get people away from shit in the situations that they were in before. And this is what happens.
You know, you have a bunch of diamonds. You're polishing a bunch of diamonds out of a pile of shit.
Exactly. Because everybody likes playing for those type of coaches. Those type of coaches are leading the way right now.
I think most of the Lions staff is former players.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I mean, it just shows you what that can do to young talent.
Well, I'm gonna bring it back. You know, 2017. You know, there's a little team from Philadelphia where we had a coach called Doug Peterson, and we had some ragtag players.
I know him. I know him very well.
Yeah, one-year deals, and we won a Super Bowl, and we willed to that because of the will to win. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has the will to win, but, you know, they pull in money here, they pull in money there. We didn't pull in no money, really. We won off the will to win. You know what I mean? We won with a backup quarterback, to be honest with you.
And Doug called a fucking hell of a football game.
Hell of a football game. And these people are and they're doing it not just us, because you know we brought a little bit in, but all these teams around the league are doing it now. And they're winning.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we're talking about this right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's true.
If it 100%. Was me, I'm hiring a former coach as my head coach. I mean, a former player as my head coach.
That's why we don't work for the NFL, Kevin.
No. because here's the thing. Well, here's
you
the thing.
It,
the
you why figured we don't it work out for the NFL.
The reason we like that kind of stuff, but the NFL likes doing these retreads over and over and over again, who continue to fucking fail instead of trying to give one of those new guys a shot.
Well, I'll tell you what,
they go to too many retreads.
The New York Giants said, well, hell, if he can run a Walmart, he can run this goddamn team. That's what the Giants said. Shitty ass. I'm sorry, guys.
In his defense, the Buffalo Bills were a lot better when he was over there.
Yeah, they were.
So, you know, it is what it is, my man.
I'm sorry.
My bad, dog. You're good, brother. You're good.
Yeah, anyway, good fella.
Next topic, Brock's pretty good. San Francisco 49ers play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They went 27-14. And I feel like this game was not as close as maybe the score indicated. Brock Purdy showed out for the second straight week. 21-25 for 333 and 3 touchdowns, no turnovers. Damn near, I think he had a perfect QBR that game. And over the last 2 weeks, he has a damn near perfect QBR. You know, that's the analyst's favorite stat. But it's the highest in a 2-game stretch in NFL history. So how are we feeling about the Niners now?
NFC Offensive Player of the Week was Brock Purdy.
I'll tell you like this. I went back to the time that I was on the show again, and I don't mean to bring up old stuff, Paul. Apparently, Kevin, I can't remember what Kevin said. But
I just said what I said. I know what I said.
But I still believe in the whole team, man. But
when healthy.
I think Brock be getting lucky, bro. I ain't gonna lie. But he been winning, though. Like, that boy been getting lucky. Maybe I sound stupider, but but all jokes aside, man, they've been playing pretty good this last week. Like you said, when healthy, They can't stop them. And that's what that's kind of what I was alluding to the last time we spoke. You can't count those boys out. You know, they when they gel, they gel. And then Christian McCaffrey, bro, that dude, that's – excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, but that's probably the baddest white boy that ever run a football. I'm there's no kidding. That boy, he's tough. And you could tell the difference when that man's back on the field, man. Like, you just can't stop him. You can't. Like, even if you tried and you wanted to, there's a couple teams that I can't even say that shut him down. They maybe held him down a little bit. You can hold somebody down, but you can't shut him down. You know what I mean? And that he's a big part of that goddamn offense. And no shade to Brock Purdy, because he's been doing things that, you know, that's unheard of as a third string quarterback after the Eagles then killed all your whole team that year. But either way, third string quarterback coming in, you know, just busting ass right now. They're scary in the NFC, bro. And I told my Tampa friends, I said, bro, they just came off of 3 losses. You don't think they're about to beat y'all? No, man, they've been losing. A team like that, you think they're going to lose 4 in a row? No way. Come on, bro.
Well, no, they're coming off a huge win week before. I mean, they steamrolled whoever they played the week before.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
They came off 3 losses, and then they slapped the shit out of
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. So I'm sorry.
Yes.
And then
stop reminding me.
And they came back and rebutted because they're a good team.
It's because they got fucking healthy.
That's what we all want to be.
It's just a scary thing.
There you
go. Last week, George Kittle had over 100 yards receiving. This week, Brandon Ayuk had over 150 yards receiving. It could be anybody.
Yep.
And that's the thing is it's anyone.
When healthy, they have the best weapons.
They have some of the best weapons out there.
No, they have the best weapons as a collective group. They have the best weapons.
I don't know. They got the best running back, but I can't say the best weapons.
As a collective unit.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
Second best tight end.
Yeah.
Outside of Kelsey. Second best tight end.
But for Christian McCaffrey to be Christian McCaffrey, and then you saw the way Pacheco run that goddamn ball. Come on, bro. I'm not saying he's better, but I'm talking about
Pacheco. If you're saying the Chiefs have better.
No. I'm not. Because the Chiefs don't really have wide receivers
like that. They got Kelsey, and that's it. He's got Debo, Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle.
Collectively, I'm going to go out on a limb just because I'm an Eagles fan. I think we're better.
Oh, I didn't see that one coming.
Well, come on. Like, what Dallas Goedert heard, that's one thing. Collectively, I think we're better. Offensive football.
We
might have a better bench.
As the entire package goes,
Niners offense and that defense.
I'm glad you said "and," but I got
Niners offense and defense as a whole. They are the most complete team when healthy in the league, and it's not even close. Like if everyone is 100% and they strap it up on a Sunday.
Look at their defensive line.
You said offense and defense. Look at our defensive line.
Their defensive line's outplaying your defensive line right now. Guys. And they just traded to get guys to put on their defensive line who've already came out and have 3 sacks.
I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna give it to you. I will bow down and say collectively, yeah, when you think about it. If we had a better bench receiving core, and anybody can say that, but we just have one or two better wide receivers that come off the bench. Come on, man.
Well, yeah, it's the standard of, right? So AJ Brown is better than any wide receiver on the 49ers.
Might be he might be the best wide receiver in the league. I'm not saying but ability, unit, but playing wise.
The unit of Debo, Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey on the field at the same time.
Bro,
unfuckwittable.
Come on, bro. But you could say the same thing. Devontae, Swift.
No, because I'm not scared.
Kittle,
no,
because Kittle's better than
no, because I'm not scared. I'm not scared that Swift is going to run a freaking out route and take it to the house. I'm fucking petrified that Christian McCaffrey is going to run a real route and run by everybody. I'm not petrified of Swift doing that. I'm not petrified of any time Christian McCaffrey grabs the ball, it's going to go. I'm not scared of any of your guys running.
You should be scared. I'm telling you, should be scared.
And someone like Debo Samuel can take a slant, break three tackles, get to the house.
Next topic.
They're different guys.
Exactly.
They'll play.
No, you guys. I had to go out on them, even though we don't have. Second, you know, it's all right. But back to my defense. I said that a long time ago. I'm fucking around, and I know those guys are great. I just want to kind of compare my team because, you know, we 9-1. But I said that while they was losing, though. I said that while they was losing. Those motherfuckers are tough.
I did, too. I said when they get healthy, they're fucking serious.
Producers, I want you guys. I want you guys to go back and I want to hear Kevin's.
Here's Kevin's exact words when we were saying it. Brock Purdy's playing like shit right now because his fucking weapons are hurt. Wait till his weapons are hurt, then we'll see what Brock Purdy is. But right now, he's playing like shit. No, that's Kevin, my exact words.
Kevin,
and was he not him, playing like shit when him, they lost?
He even called him Brock Turdy at one point. I remember.
No, I didn't say that. But did he not suck? Did he not suck when all those guys were hurt?
He did.
Yeah, there you go. When all the pressure was on him to make a play, it was
he was bad. When you bring out all the weapons collectively as a group, he fucking is great because you got all them dudes that you can rely on, and somebody is always fucking open.
Yeah.
Where did I lie?
On your bed?
No cap.
Exactly. That's it. That's the only place. And my couch sometimes.
There you go. All right. This one's for Cortez.
Uh-oh.
Let's ride.
No, Denver, God.
Denver Broncos. Up. 3 in a row. How about them Denver Broncos, huh? How are we feeling about Denver Broncos?
I wish he was here tonight. Because I would just go ahead.
They learn. I would let his big ass head just keep growing.
Yo, how funny would it be if they just run through the fucking rest of the season?
They won't.
No, I said how funny would it be, though?
Oh, it'd be hilarious. And you wouldn't get him to shut up about it, but they won't.
I will never come on the show ever again.
So yeah, I wouldn't either.
They're sitting at 5-5.
I'd be permanently retired.
they're sitting at 5-5. Do they have a chance to potentially make a run for a wild card?
Yeah.
Of course they do.
Yeah, because the whole fucking AFC North just went to shit.
Yeah, of course they do, man. You said wild card. I think that's slim pickings.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to win the division, I don't think, at this point. But
never know. Like, they could run out.
Yeah. But, you know.
I don't think they're going to run out because they still got to play some teams. But
I don't think they're going to run out either, but
They got a good chance of making it in there.
Well, I like Cortez, and I want to come back on the show. So they might run out. You never know.
No, you can't say that just because of him.
You know, sometimes you got to.
I mean, they beat the Vikings.
No, you don't.
They beat the Vikings this week, who were playing pretty hot.
Look, he's already trying to ride.
Let's go back to that, fellas.
He's already trying to ride the magic train and the Bronco. We need to stop him.
I don't like to ride anything but my motorcycle. That's about it.
Before you say anything, Tom, I've already righted my sins of saying that the Vikings stink. I've already
said the fact. Thank you. And then again, I was the last person on this show that said the Vikings were decent and they were going to win that game. And that was a pick that I made. You guys all said the Vikings stink.
They've also been a lot better for some reason with Josh Dobbs as their quarterback. I don't know what that's all about.
Rocket,
but
It's not rocket science.
It's not rocket science or eyebrows, because I don't think he has eyebrows either.
y'all leave that man alone. He's got some crazy ass fucking
you got
hair disease.
You got alopecia.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
He just always looks surprised.
he goes on the field. He's just happy to be here.
I said, why the baby playing quarterback right now?
Yeah, they showed a photo of his parents in the crowd at the game, and his parents look like two parents whose son is not a football player at all. Like his parents look like you should have worked for NASA, goddammit.
Jesus Christ.
He always looks surprised like the White Howard's behind him.
I said his first goddamn contract with it should be with Gerber, bro. He could be a Gerber baby. He's mashed peas and carrots.
He's got something wrong with him, and the not bad.
He's got something wrong with him.
But there was an Arizona cheerleader that had the same thing he has, she didn't have her hair or eyebrows and stuff like that.
Oh man! I think we're going Jesus.
And he did something.
He's got alopecia, man.
I don't know what the hell he's got.
He got that stuff that got Chris Rock slapped in the face by Will Smith for making fun of Jada Pinkett. Same thing.
She had eyebrows though.
That's fine.
They weren't drawn
as bad
on.
As Josh Dobbs. Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah. No. Jada's is tattooed on just so she can look shocked and surprised and have her forehead raised up.
I think Balls in Your Court podcast is gonna be canceled next show. Sorry, Cortez.
Oh, shit. Will Smith's outside.
No. Bro. We've talked about a lot worse shit than this.
I'm glad I wasn't on those cast. God damn.
Yeah, we've talked about a lot worse shit. You wasn't here for the fucking 27 Dwight Howard joke episode.
I was.
He was here for that.
Goddamn, Kevin.
See? There you go.
You know, Kevin, thank you.
Look, I'm old and I forget shit.
You old forgetful motherfucker.
Exactly.
He probably thought
I don't forget how many Dwight Howard jokes we told that night, though.
We told a bunch of them.
He probably thought you and Cortez were the same guy.
That's racist, by the way, Paul. That was racist.
No, of course. No, Cortez, if he had that background, I couldn't see
him. Kevin, that was racist as well. I'm not going to let you talk about – let me pull my camera now. I'm not going to let you talk about Cortez and the goddamn Magic and Dwight Howard like that. I won't.
Put it this way.
Cortez. They just won tonight. All right, bro?
Put it this way. We went out for Cortez's birthday one night. I heard a voice calling me. I kept looking around, and I could not find that motherfucker.
All you saw was a tortilla in his hand. That's it, huh?
No, I saw him smile finally. And I went, hey!
That was another racist joke. I'm sorry. I'm not going to laugh at that, Cortez.
Yes, you are. You laugh. Because Cortez would have laughed at it because he knows it's true.
That was racist. Go ahead, Paul.
I'm gonna be a professional and corral this thing back in here.
Get back on the bus.
So the Jets are finally benching Zach Wilson.
That's racist.
you know, Xerxes is already their head coach.
I think he's got alopecia too.
and now they got one of the good fellas fucking playing quarterback, right?
Yeah, Tim Boyle.
Oh.
Zach Wilson was demoted to third string. He'll be behind Trevor Siemian now.
God damn!
What? Trevor Siemian?
Yeah, man.
The former Bronco.
Trevor Siemian.
He played for the Broncos, right?
Yeah, Florida State's finest.
Jeez. Well, maybe I was thinking about another Trevor Siemian, but that's him.
No, same guy. It's him.
He's second string now.
He's second string on the Jets. Tim Boyle's first string, and Zach Wilson down the third string.
It don't take much to get the second string on the Jets.
It don't take much.
No. It's a short string.
So here's the big question. When rehab Aaron comes back, did they just cut Zach Wilson?
Aaron Hernandez?
The bigger question is it even worth trying to bring Aaron Rodgers back?
No.
Right. Or is his ego bigger than football, and the fact that he wants to come back.
You let that man do whatever he wants to do. He's only got a couple years in life left.
Exactly. He's been on all that shit he's been taking. He may fucking die here pretty soon.
He gets one more hit. It's a wash. You guys already spent your money, and you gambled, and you came up dry. So put him in and see what he can do. Shake them trees.
Exactly. Let him hallucinate and see fucking shit while he's out there trying to play football.
But if that man wins, everybody's going to be on his D-I-C-K.
Everybody still is on it.
I don't know how.
And he ain't even playing, and they're still on it.
Mm-hmm. He's getting better. He's on the sideline. He's taking a cast off. He's throwing. Bro, he's a person.
I mean, I feel like ESPN solely wanted the Pat McAfee show just for those Aaron Rodgers interviews, just so they can use that now and not have to try to promote someone else. And now that's all under their umbrella. And they're very strategic in making sure that the time slot that show is on ESPN is the Aaron Rodgers Tuesday interview. So they all know what they're doing. Everybody, well, Paul, when he talks, people are here for it.
Paul, you got to remember this. He's the last of the greats that came from that era.
That's it.
So why not? And why not get the ratings? And why not get the oohs and ahs? He's the last of the greats other than Russell, and he's stinking it up.
He's the last of the Mohicans.
He's the last good one. Russell, if Russell finds a way to pull it out this year, maybe we'll be talking about him. But we're going to talk about him either way because of Cortez. But Aaron Rodgers is the last. There's who else is there?
That's it. He really is the last of that generation. That spot, he's the last one.
Yeah.
He's holding on as long as he can.
I'm not going to throw shade on Russell. Russell, it's him and Russell, but you know Russell is he's struggling, but it's really it's him and Russell. But to do some – I can't even see to do some great shit, but to do some great shit lately. Or good shit lately.
It's time. It's can he pull the Brett Favre-esque shit where Brett took the Vikings to the threshold of going to the Super Bowl, and then he went to the Jets and didn't do jack shit. But it's can Aaron reduplicate what the last the last great Packer quarterback to leave. Can he duplicate that? And the only thing right now he can duplicate is the crazy shit that fucking Brett Favre did after he fucking left Green Bay.
But you know what? To be honest with you, I think he could. He's just hurt. You know what I mean?
They put enough around him up there, that, and they got him a good defense. They put enough around him that if he were playing, they'd be a serious contender. But as soon as that thing went pop, there went their weasel.
Yeah, man, they got decent blocking running backs to, you know, to kind of protect them on those play actions and you know, different plays in the backfield. They did everything to get that man right. Oh, yeah. Man. It's the game of football.
Yeah, for sure. Before we kind of get into the player of the week and the picks and stuff, we've already seen a few head coaching moves around the league. We saw Josh McDaniels get let go. The Steelers finally fired Matt Canada. And
you know they blamed Canada.
Oh yeah,
blamed Canada.
My immediate
with all the shitty offensive lines and all their heads so full of lies. Blame Canada. Blame Canada. You're not even a real offense anyway. Oh, sorry.
Oh boy. Sorry about that, Canada. We love you. But yeah,
Canada.
Matt Canada.
America's hat.
That's what it's all about.
Boot.
Matt Canada got let go. So looking at where we are in week 11, who do you think is the next coach to get let go? Who's going to lose their job? I'm gonna throw it out there. Brandon Staley of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yep, there you go. That guy, that's a good one.
That guy.
He went nuts the other night.
That guy stinks.
He went nuts the other night. You're damn right I'm going to keep calling defenses. Well, you better call good fucking defenses. Because whatever you're calling right now, sucks balls.
I tell you what. There's a couple that should be let go. This is just me. Who's that guy over there that plays for the, that coaches for the, that other team in New York?
Brian Daboll?
Yeah, I don't, they can't let him go, but I think they should just, you know what I think? I think they should just merge teams, the Giants and the Jets, to make one team. Does it make sense to have both those teams together?
That'd be the weakest Infinity Gauntlet of all time.
I think it's the weakest. I think it's the weakest. Either way, that guy right there, man. Like, I don't think they can let him go because they're gonna. Didn't they just get him a year ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. He won. He won Coach of the Year last year.
Last year, yeah, exactly. He was Coach of the Year last year. I mean, the Giants have had a lot of problems. And I don't think the problems are necessarily Brian Daboll's problems. I mean, it's the front office. They gave Daniel Jones too much money.
There's your problem.
He can't stay healthy. The defense isn't right. So I mean, it's a lot of things. You can't necessarily blame the head coach. I know it's the head coach's job to kind of take the brunt of all the criticism and all that stuff. But
so they signed Daniel Jones to that big contract last year, right?
This offseason.
So you don't think he had nothing to do with it?
I mean, potentially so, sure. But
that and the fact they couldn't find anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, who else is really there?
Exactly. So I think they just need a clean house again, quarterback and all. And go ahead and get your team right. Yeah. Another team. God damn, I just went on a blank.
It's okay.
Point him out on the map.
I'm old.
It happens sometimes.
I'm old.
Show me on a map.
Trust me.
That's where he touched. Right there.
That's where he touched me. He touched me right there. Is it Dwight Howard?
Well, no, this is a couple of – that's the only one that sticks out, but just because, you know.
Dwight Howard is the only one that sticks out? That's the only one that sticks out. Oh, Lordy.
The only one that sticks out. But, I think it's – what was his contract? I think he signed like 2 or 3 years, right?
It was a decent contract, yeah. But I don't think you can really fire him.
That's what I just said.
I don't know if anybody can win Coach of the Year and then get fired the next year. I think if anything, he would step down and leave on his own.
Bill Belichick should get fired, but I know he ain't getting fired.
That's – yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
It's time.
I mean, Todd Bowles ain't doing too great down in Tampa Bay either.
He should have been fired last year.
But, you know, it's
– Todd Bowles should have been fired last year.
Todd Bowles sucked.
He's one of those guys keeps getting jobs, though.
Yeah, because they like fucking rehashing stupid-ass shit.
Hey, I tell you what. But, no, I think, to be honest with you, all jokes aside, other than the Todd, I think Bill Belichick, that man got to go or quit.
It's time. The bad part is up there, I think they're just waiting for him to say, you know what, I'm done. They don't want to tell him that you're done.
He's still the GM.
Remember how FSU did Bobby Bowden, where they kind of kept giving him hints that they wanted him to leave?
Yeah.
That's what the Patriots are doing. They're kind of giving Bill hints.
I'm gonna stop giving you good players.
Exactly. They're trying to give him hints to get him out the door because they don't want to go, Bill, you're fired. They want him to leave on his own accord because of everything he fucking did for.
I thought he was a GM though.
That's why they want to I think they hired one not too long ago just because he had too much shit going on. But I think they're trying to be like, you know what, dude, it's time to just get on your horse.
I think he knows too. I just honestly think that he's the type of guy that is like, I leave when the fuck I want to, even if I'm losing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah,
I also think he's got pictures of Robert Kraft and that masseuse. So
He was next to him.
Yeah, he was right next to him going.
Go ahead, turn over, Robert. Right in your face.
And they were right next to Deshaun Watson.
What did Chappelle, grandmother say? Get in her hair, Robert. Get in her hair.
Oh, God. God turn it. They were right next to Deshaun Watson.
This one's on me.
Yeah, all right. I got you, Rob.
Sorry, Paul. Sorry.
Right, you're good. I'm gonna go ahead and just jump into it. Who are our players of the week?
Let's go on because we're at 1 hour and 13 minutes and we're starting to get tired, so you can tell it's starting to go south.
Who are our players of the week?
Who are we inviting to the barbecue?
Who's invited to Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow?
I'm going to invite Football Jesus. Because we're thankful we have him, and I'm going to invite Trevor Lawrence over to the house.
Oh, it seems like it's the same consensus with everybody. I'm talking about with their teams. I'm inviting Devontae.
No. Yeah. It's Thanksgiving. You invite your own people. You better invite the good fella.
I'm inviting Devontae. I didn't mean to cut you off, Kevin. I'm sorry.
Paul needs to invite. Don't worry, he's sitting at the head of the table.
Don't worry about it.
There you go.
I'm bringing my boy Tommy DeVito. Tommy DeVito, 18 for 26, 246, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions.
There you go.
As the Giants ravaged the Commanders the same way the Pilgrims did.
Oh, you gonna go that way?
We didn't land on Plymouth Rock.
Plymouth Rock, I said that. You know, goddamn. What? You gonna go that way, bro? Denzel said it's the best.
Yep, there we go. I said it.
But I knew we were all gonna go on our teams, man, because you know,
as we should. It's Thanksgiving. You be thankful for your own.
Well, Danny DeVito played a good game. You know what I mean?
Danny DeVito.
I hope he brings rum ham to Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Danny DeVito would have been the only quarterback shorter than Bryce Young.
Oh man. Well, that's it. I knew it. We were all gonna pick our teams, brother.
I knew that was coming from the get go. I was like, I'm picking Trevor no matter what. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Like I said, Devontae, he actually, that game right there, and not to expound on it because I did already, that game right there, he solidified a couple big catches down the line. And, you know, we that was a grind right there, bro. That was a grind.
Hell yeah.
Because I would have invited Calvin Ridley, but he already came to the first barbecue. So.
Yeah, Ridley was looking really good.
Dude, he played good. Yeah.
Yeah. He's playing like the old self.
All right. Yeah.
Well, the funny part is, yeah, we're running at 1 hour and 16 minutes. Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, guys.
We're good. I'm just going to dive into the picks. I'll eventually catch up on recaps as to where we are in the season. But for right now, I just want to go ahead and get into the picks for this week. I know I got Cortez here somewhere. All right, cool. So we're just going to get started with the picks for week 12. Whole bunch of Thanksgiving goodness going on. We're going to start off.
Well, not really goodness, but football games.
Yeah, it's football, man. It's fine. Be all right. All right, first, Thanksgiving Day, 12:30 p.m. Green Bay Packers, Detroit Lions.
Detroit.
I'm going to go Detroit.
You got Detroit Cortez time? Went. Yeah, everybody took Detroit.
Everybody got Detroit. Perfect. All right. Commanders at Cowboys, 4:30.
Cowboy.
Yep, Dallas. Cortez also taking Dallas. Thursday night, 8.